Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. This week, Reverend Jonathan Brink helps us consider what it means for our soul to reflect the image of God.
It is in this light that we now turn to our scripture that comes from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day. Be with us now as we reflect on your word, search for your spirit, and strive to reflect your love for us in the ways we interact with one another, with scripture, and the world around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the soul? More specifically, what is the Bible talking about when it talks about loving God with all our souls? I don't know about you, but I can think of a few definitions of the word soul. It's more often as an adjective than it is a noun. There's soul music, with the likes of Otis Redding sitting on the dock of the bay, or Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell's Ain't No Mountain High Enough, or Stevie Wonder's Superstition, or any song by Aretha Franklin or James Brown. It's easy to get into the soulful groove of some soul music. But that's not quite it. There's also soul food. And I know that you all live in the South, so you know what a good soul food dinner is going to be. You might have the options of fried chicken, okra, cornbread, and mashed potatoes, or you could have some collard greens or green beans of your mom's or your grandmom's recipe that is passed down from generation to now pass on to your children, which is that good style of home cooking that feels soulful. But that's not quite it either. Sometimes we're referring to someone as our soul mate or a soul brother or a soul sister. There's something deep about that relationship, something that is bonding, ties us together seemingly beyond our blood or physical ties. And yet, that's not quite it either. Of course, every person possesses a soul, has been given a soul. We might even say that each person has a soul, but they may not have soul. Do they have soul? Do they have a soul? Absolutely. Do they have soul? Well, that's more debatable. If you ask the kids, I definitely don't have soul. Webster's Dictionary gives us this primary definition of soul. An entity which is regarded as being the immortal or spiritual part of the person, and though having no physical or material reality, is credited with the functions of thinking and willing, and hence determining all behavior. Now, if that didn't clear up anything for you, I'm with you. I read that sentence 3 or 4 times on Friday and still came to the same conclusion. It's like, I don't know what it's actually saying about the soul. So I thought I would turn to Scripture to see what it says about our souls. Scripture tells us that a person can fear for their soul, risk their soul, save their soul, or lose their soul. Luke 2:35 says that a soul can feel wounded. John 12:27 says that the soul can feel troubled, and still 3 John and 2 Peter say that the soul can feel content one day and tormented the next. Or we can turn to Genesis 2:7 and read that the Lord God formed the human from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. In life and in death through Scripture, it seems that we find that perhaps the soul is something that is bound together with our very personhood. It is what makes us a living soul, understands trouble and contentment, and feels both wounded and joyful. Seemingly, it's who we are, and it is something that is beyond our physical selves. It is given to us through the breath of God and released into God's arms upon death. It seems to me that it is the essence of our being that intertwines with the being of God. At the core of our being, our soul is a reflection of the image of God. It is that part of ourselves that is intertwined with God's self, created by God and enlivened by God. And when I think of our souls in this way, I can't help but think of Psalm 1, verse 3, when the author writes, "They are like trees planted by streams of water." There's something about this image of ourselves that I cannot get away from. If I imagine ourselves as trees planted by streams of water, our souls are beyond our physical branches, beyond our beauty, beyond any ornaments that can be placed upon it, beyond our thinking and our understanding of what the tree is. Our souls are the root system tied to the living water of that stream that is running by. Our souls are our roots that are taking hold in the rich soil, that drink deeply from the river of life. Planted near the living water, God took our roots and put them deeply into the imago Dei and let us grow so that our hearts, minds, and strength of body might also reflect this image of God. Our souls are meant to be deeply rooted in a loving relationship with our Creator and with the roots of all of those who are around us, intertwining tree through tree. As I was thinking about my sermon this week, I found myself stuck. I was in the car with Whitney and I told her, I don't know what I can possibly say about the soul that would be able to tie us all together. Each of us is unique and each of us turn to different things for comfort, whether that's cookies and milk, or reading, or through quiet times. Each of us has our cups filled in different ways. Each of us is drained in different ways. There is no one walk of life that is happening right now that is the key to understanding why our cup runs dry or why we are thirsty or why the cup may be overflowing. There isn't some formula that can be plugged in that will be the answer, because life is not full of answers. It is a journey that we're all on together. I wrote in my article this week for you that many of us turn to things of this world that bring us joy. And it's true for most, if not all, of humanity. I mean, who doesn't like a bit of therapeutic shopping? Who doesn't love to have a quiet morning? Or who doesn't love to get that new iPhone and try all the new apps? Who enjoys reading? Or who enjoys a little bit of exercise? Or maybe you're a person who wants to have a good nap. Who feels good after a vacation? Or who's more about that staycation lifestyle? You might be able to point to any of these or a few of these and identify them as ways that we find joy, even if some of them are only more temporary than others. You know, I got a new iPhone about a month back, and I would probably venture to tell you that that day my cup was pretty overflowing. I found it so much joy in reorganizing my photos, looking at the new apps, and taking the new best photos I've ever taken because it now has different cameras that are making me look like I'm a much better photographer than I am. But after a month, I know that I don't feel the same about that phone. It's lost its newness, its shininess. It's probably already got a dent in it because I've dropped it 20 times. Perhaps it's missing something that's a bit deeper, something down in my soul, in my being. But what are those things that are more eternal? What are the things that are lasting? What is it that's in our souls that is perhaps beyond the temporary joys we find in the ornaments of life? I would argue that we can turn to our scripture today to find more of an answer. Perhaps it is in the way we praise God, reflect God, and think about God. The image of God lies within and reflected in each of us. The very breath that is in us is meant to be something more eternal. Our souls indeed last long after our bodies give way to death. Our souls, the deepest part of who we are, were created to be connected. We are hardwired to be firmly rooted in a place that is deeply satisfying. And I believe this deep desire to connect and be fulfilled will be in us whether we choose to root our lives in God or not. And so, if not in God, we will seek to be rooted somewhere in something bigger than ourselves, in something that can give our life meaning and purpose, in something which brings contentment and satisfaction to our lives. I am a huge football fan, so let me give you a sport analogy for reference. I love the TCU Horned Frogs. Am I alone in this? No. Yeah. Go Frogs. I would argue there's something deeply fulfilling about just showing up to the football stadium and hearing that band start playing and cheering on my team, I get a little teary-eyed at the end of every game, win or lose, just singing the alma mater. I am deeply rooted into the system of TCU. We sometimes go nuts for our teams, don't we? We expend a ton of passion, energy, time, celebration, heartache, and money to root for our team. And what is it all about? Why do we put so much energy into something that is ultimately going to be meaningless in the grand scheme of the universe or in our souls? I believe it is a part of our desire to connect to something that's bigger than ourselves. When we come to church together, we desire a connection to something that is bigger than ourselves. When we stand in awe of the Grand Canyon or the pyramids of Egypt or the massive expanse of the ocean or the rising and the setting of the sun, we search for the connection to something that is larger than ourselves. When we cheer on our team or when we gather with friends and family, we long to be a part of something beyond our solitary selves. When we yearn for quiet and solitude, we long to connect with something deeper than what our eyes can perceive. We long for connection because we are hardwired to be in connection with God, in connection with our neighbors. Our roots are looking for good soil and living water. I spent a lot of time this week thinking about what it looks like for our souls to reflect the image of God. I began with a question that many of you began pondering when Whitney asking for images, and you placed these up in her office and were placed here. They are images that are answering the question, what is a picture of the Imago Dei? And when I look at these images and I reflect on what I know to be God, I see that God is love. I see that God is joy. I see that God is connection. God is justice. God is pure. God is true and honorable. When we love a neighbor, we connect our souls to each other. When we come to church and connect with one another in grief or joy, we find our souls connecting to that river of life. When we stand up for someone who has been treated with injustice, when we fight for the oppressed, when we think about or connect to God's creation, when we see God's light through shared stories, or when we find peace beyond our understanding just because someone was there with us. Perhaps these things are the things that reflect the image of God, the things that really matter, that fill our souls beyond the ornaments of life, that do indeed bring joy, as small as they might be. King David, a prominent character in the scripture, had everything, unlimited power, wealth beyond any other, and the possessions, any possession that anyone could desire. And yet, King David wrote about how he was thirsty. Our teams may never win the big championship, or maybe they will. Our lives may fall apart at any given moment. A loss of job, death that takes a loved one, a car that breaks down, a recession that hits, an injured self, the test results that come back positive, a rejection notice that comes in the mail or the email. But if our souls are connected, if we can fill our souls with the things that truly matter, it's not that we will not be depressed, hurt, or sad, or in pain. But maybe, just maybe, our souls will not be dry. And we can tap into the living water of that stream of God's life running nearby. If we will only let our souls and our roots reach into the good soil, instead of turning to the ornaments of life that may be only temporary. My prayer for us all is that we might find those things that connect us to the image of God. And if nothing else, we can think on these things. And God is walking with us along the way. Will you pray with me?